The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, with John Mueller. Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when the stars above came out.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. The one-of-a-kind show that tells you what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. It's a fact that millions of Europeans and North Americans have already made that big move south of the border. You might know someone who already has. Maybe it's your dream to do it someday. Well, it's a big move, and it's not to be taken lightly. And that's just what this show is all about. What's it really like for first-world expats to live in the third world? Could be. It's just a low-stress, low-maintenance kind of lifestyle that you've always wanted. Or it could be your worst nightmare. How do you really know? On this show, we'll talk about things you never read about in those glossy travel magazines. As for me, 20 years ago, I took the plunge. I've knocked around all 21 Latin American countries, built a few houses, started a few businesses, and even found time for some romance. With this show, The Expat Files, I'll be giving you an unvarnished, realistic look at what it's really like to live as an expat down in Latin America. We'll be talking about everything and anything Latin American. And if you have your own questions, just shoot me an email. That's expatfiles@progressiveradionetwork.com. So let's get started. In today's show, we'll be discussing why toilet paper is not always toilet paper, why building inspectors rarely inspect, why real Latin men don't need bathrooms, and how $150 a month can get you a full-time maid and a living thief to boot.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
A few months ago, I was sitting in a beautiful beach bar in Nicaragua when I heard a middle-aged lady American tourist complaining about the bathroom. And after a few seconds of listening, I realized it was her first time down to Latin America. Now, any seasoned expat will tell you, there's certain annoying things that first-time tourists will always complain about, and I don't blame them. But after you've made the trip a few times, soon enough you give up on it, because you know complaining doesn't do any good. Because no matter how solid your complaint or how annoying something is, for some things, no amount of complaining will help. And as luck would have it, one of the most annoying things, in fact, one of the most disgusting things, you'll see right when you land at the airport. It comes as a shock to most first world people when they go into the airport bathroom and find out you can't put your toilet paper in the toilet. In fact, there's nearly always a sign in the bathroom that says, please do not put the toilet paper in the toilet. Put it in the wastebasket. Now, if there's anything more disgusting to a first world person than putting their used toilet paper in a waste paper basket is to see that the waste paper basket itself is generally overflowing with said used toilet paper. Now, you'll find this throughout Latin America, in homes, in restaurants, in public buildings, in hotels, and in brand new airports that look absolutely first world in all other aspects. So, why should that be? Well, engineers and architects have told me there's a very good reason for this, that when a new building of any kind is planned and then drawn up by an architect, those plans have to be drawn up to first world standards and handed in to the local municipality before they get approved to start the construction. Then, after a fee is paid to the municipality, you get the okay to start construction. And that's where the trouble begins. Except in some very rare circumstances, there are no inspections performed on a construction site once the construction is underway. Sure, every municipality is supposed to have an inspection department. And if you actually wanted to go down and visit an inspector's office, you probably would find a secretary there, filing her nails and talking on the phone. But the chances are good that any able-bodied inspector has found better things to do than to actually visit any construction sites. Not to mention, the inspector's job is a political job, and that means that the vast majority of building inspectors in Latin America have one solid qualification, that they're closely related to a politician, or they were owed a political favor. Nepotism is the rule in Latin America, not the exception. So if you're a building contractor, and you know the inspector is never going to show up on your site, though if you're lucky, he might drive by without stopping and just smile and wave. Anyway, you can be sure of one thing. The contractor, no matter if the job is big or small, is going to start cutting corners. And the best way to cut corners, if you're a contractor, is of course to cut corners where it doesn't show, like behind walls and under concrete. Latin contractors are notorious for using substandard materials that'll be buried under the ground, like pipes and tubes and concrete. So, instead of using 4-inch tubes for the toilet drainage, people use 3-inch or 2-inch tubes. And what does that mean? That means if you flush your toilet paper down the toilet, there's likely to be a bottleneck in a nearby wall or buried somewhere deep down in the ground, where more than likely there's a maze of undersized tubes. And that's why you're discouraged to put your toilet paper in the toilet. Even though it's called toilet paper, in Latin America, it's not meant for the toilet. Now, you should know that this tradition of throwing your toilet paper in the waste paper basket has had some negative side effects up in the first world. You can bet that every Latin American who visits the first world, whether legally or illegally, will, for quite a while, be putting his own toilet paper, not in the toilet, but in the wastebasket. And this is especially problematic in a lot of the airports in the southern United States, where many of the visitors are coming directly from Latin America. I'd hate to be a maintenance person in one of those airports. But then again, it's hard not to notice that nearly all of the maintenance persons in those southern airports are of recent Latin American vintage, which means they should be used to it. Moving along to another distasteful subject, another thing you're going to notice, and probably wince at as soon as you land in Latin America, is that there's an epidemic of public urination. It doesn't seem to matter where or what time of day it is, somebody is going to be standing against a wall urinating. Any place there's an open expanse of wall or a convenient corner, it's considered a public latrine by half of the men in the country. And yes, only men do it, and most are men from the lower classes. And what's worse is that they do it with impunity and without a hint of embarrassment. And it's no use to try to scold them, to yell out your window something like pig, or even try to embarrass them by blowing your horn or shaking your fist or whatever. They just don't get it. And for an expat, what's even more shocking is when a guy's doing his thing in a nicer section of town, and it doesn't even bother him in the least that a group of young school kids might be walking by. Now, to most expats, this is a cardinal sign of a true third world country. When guys urinate freely, anywhere they like, in front of any kind of person, without embarrassment. And when a policeman walks by, he does absolutely nothing. In fact, on any given day, you're more than likely to see a police car pull over, a cop get out, walk into a field, and do the very same thing right in front of everyone. And you know what? There are laws. In every Latin American country, they have a law patterned exactly after a first world law that prohibits public urination. And it's not enforced because the policemen themselves come from that lower level society where public urination is a way of life. And as for the women, it's not an issue. They never urinate publicly. In nearly 20 years down here, I've never heard a single expat say he's seen a woman urinate publicly. Never. Though every expat I know has seen thousands of guys do it. You'd be blind if you didn't see it. And as for the upper classes of people, the ones that have newer model cars, you'll rarely see those men do it, except on the open highway, where the world is your toilet. Even the guys with Volvos and Beamers and Hummers pull right over and do their thing. Whereas in the first world, you only see things like that with white trash and very drunk college boys. But up north, the police aren't nice about it, and you're always at risk for a few $100 fine. And that brings me to an idea that a lot of expats have had. One thing you should know, when expats get together for a drink, they always have great solutions for the obvious problems that make the third world, well, the third world. Expats do have good solutions. They're also realistic enough to know when they get together, they're only blowing hot air. But somehow, everyone agrees on one thing. If all the Latin American governments got together and just enforced the traffic laws alone, in no time, they could balance their budgets, buy new fleets of vehicles, build first-world-style hospitals, universities, and schools, and even rebuild the pathetic infrastructure. But don't bet on it, because someone's bound to walk off with the dough. And that's what expats talk about when they have a few drinks. And as for the Latins, well, crisis management is all they know, and they're no good at that either.
South of the border.
And now it's time we talk a little bit about domestic help in Latin America. Now, anyone who lives up in the first world is bound to tell you that only wealthy people can afford full-time domestic help. And if you have, for example, a live-in maid, then your income is probably well over $300,000 a year. Because if you figure your maid is making $10 an hour, and she's really on the books and you're paying Social Security and FICA and all the other necessary things, and you're covering her room and board, then you're probably looking at laying out $35,000 a year. And if you're a high-income earner, like $300,000 or more a year, you're probably in a 50% tax bracket, which means to pay out that $35,000, you have to earn $70,000. You get the idea, of course. Since the average American doesn't even make $70,000 a year, just the idea of having your very own cleaning lady is pretty much out of reach for more than 95% of the population. But once you're down in Latin America, one of the first things you learn as an expat is that nearly every home that you visit has a live-in cleaning lady, and maybe even a full-time live-in gardener as well. It turns out that just like in the first world, having a live-in cleaning lady is a status symbol down in Latin America. It's a sign that your family's doing okay. In fact, it's a sign that your family is on a fast track to upward mobility. To Latins, having a cleaning lady is the basic first rung on the ladder to social status. Keeping up with the Joneses is an art form in Latin America. And I know it's going to surprise you to hear that any family that makes $1,000 a month has a live-in cleaning lady. Now, I told you in another program that the minimum wage in Latin America is about $200 to $300 a month. Well, I can tell you that Latin American cleaning ladies are the exception to that rule. They make about half the minimum wage, about $100 to $150 a month plus room and board. That's because they're off the books and don't pay taxes. And the cleaning ladies want it that way. Half of the workers in Latin America, including cleaning ladies, maintenance workers, gardeners, and handymen, are completely off the tax rolls and prefer it that way. Most in the very lowest rungs in the population have a great distrust of the government. They prefer to take cash and not go down to the government buildings and sign up for taxes and health care and whatever. Because you see, most of the Latin American countries have had a revolution or two in the last 50 years. And every country has had its massacres and slaughters. And one of the ways the government rounds up people to massacre and slaughter is by checking the government files and documents and weeding out the people they decide, well, to weed out. So naturally, the people are quite hesitant to sign their name to anything that'll end up in a permanent government file. So what about these cleaning ladies? And what can you expect from your domestic help? That is, if you decide to hire one, and normally expats do. And let me just say right now, I'm calling them cleaning ladies, not because I'm sexist, but because I've never, in 20 years in Latin America, seen a man doing that job. And what about the job? Well, one thing you'll find is they'll do anything and everything around the house. The cooking, the washing, the dishes, the windows. You'll never hear one say, I don't do windows or I don't do toilets. You'll hear none of the usual complaints that you might hear from domestics up in the first world. Well, as for me and most of the other expats that may have come from a solid middle-class background up in the first world, I can tell you right now, having a full-time cleaning lady is a real experience. I mean, you might never have considered even hiring one, but pretty soon, when the word gets around the neighborhood that a first-world expat has moved in no time, ladies of all ages will be knocking at your door offering their services as a cleaning lady. And it doesn't take long before most expats decide to give it a try, at least on a temporary basis, if not just to see if it'll work out or if it's just too much trouble. And since you've been brought up in the first world, you want to do some kind of interview and ask for references. And during that interview process, what you're most likely to find is that these ladies are so timid in front of expats that you'll barely be able to get a word out of them. And that's because you're a foreigner, and the chances are they've never even spoken to a foreigner before in their whole lives. And the only impression they have of first-world gringos is what they've seen in the movies and on cable TV. And you know what? These cleaning ladies may be so poor that back home they have a tin roof and still cook with firewood, but even they have cable TV. They know about that reality TV junk in the United States. They know about the Kardashians, Lost, E! Entertainment Television, and American Idol. And they think everybody from the first world is like that, more or less. Why wouldn't they? In other words, they think we're rich, superficial, and have just way too much time on our hands. And you know, they could be right. And you should know that it's pretty much a given that almost all the cleaning ladies have this idea in the back of their minds that if they work for a first world person long enough and do good by him or her and remain trustworthy, if they play their cards right, maybe someday, just maybe, you'll help them with their paperwork, give them the proper references, and somehow make it possible for them to immigrate up to the United States legally. And let me tell you, this is very much in the expat's favor, because so many domestic workers have families and are so poor that they've resorted to becoming petty thieves just to feed their families, who more than likely are living in a dirt floor shack somewhere in a far-off town. The fact is, every Latin person I've ever spoken to who has a full-time cleaning lady has told me that they've fired at least one cleaning lady for stealing. And you hear stories like that everywhere in Latin America. But to me, this says more about the employer sometimes than it does about the cleaning lady. Expats usually keep their mouths shut, even when they see how badly some of the Latin employers treat their help. Normally, you have a middle-class Latin family. Middle-class by Latin standards, that is. Earning maybe $1,000 a month, and still, that's enough to employ a full-time cleaning lady. Now, anywhere in the first world, $1,000 a month is below the poverty level. Yet in Latin America, it's considered solidly middle class. Yet at this humble level of society, you still see a stiff delineation of social status, where employees and their kids, unfortunately, treat cleaning ladies worse than second-class citizens. And it's so obvious to expats, but we keep our mouths shut, because in reality, we're just visitors here. But when talking about cleaning ladies and expats, I have to mention another strange phenomena. But first, let me clarify what I said before, something that might be bothering some of you listeners right now, about how some people have full-time cleaning ladies that are only 14 years old. Well, actually, in most countries in Latin America, people aren't supposed to be able to start working full-time until they're 16 or even 18 years old. Well, here again is a labor rule that's rarely enforced, especially since they have such a huge informal economy. And if it surprises you to hear about 14-year-old girls working full-time, you should take a drive out to the farming area someday. If I had a nickel for every time I saw an 8, 9, or 10-year-old kid working in the fields and sweating alongside his mom and his dad and the rest of his family, well, let's just say I'd have enough money to pay for a dozen or so cleaning ladies. Now, another strange phenomena that seems to come with the cleaning lady territory is the fact that once a cleaning lady begins to work for an expat, she'll do almost anything to hang on to that job. In fact, after a cleaning lady has worked for an expat for a while, it won't take much prodding for your cleaning lady to tell you some pretty shocking stories about her or other cleaning ladies of her acquaintance that have had some pretty miserable experiences while working for Latin employers. And by the way, cleaning ladies are called muchachas in Spanish. Anyway, another reason why cleaning ladies prefer to work for expats, if they ever get the opportunity, since statistically, maybe only 1 in 1,000 would ever get the chance. It's also well known within the cleaning lady community that if you could find an expat for a boss, there's a good chance that he'll be friendly, generous to a fault, and very lenient when it comes to vacations and holidays, as opposed to the middle-class Latin American employer who wouldn't consider any of those options for his employees. The Latin rumor mill has it that unlike Latin American bosses, expats not only pay on time, they pay a little more, they sometimes even tip, and often give away food, shoes, clothes, tools, and other things that just might be accumulating around the house. Plus, they're known to give nice big Christmas bonuses. So what's not to like working for an expat? So the question is, if you actually hire a live-in cleaning lady, where does she live? In your guest room? So what happens if you have guests? Not to worry. Latin culture and tradition has taken care of that little problem rather nicely. Even fresh expats right off the plane will soon notice when they're looking for apartments or houses to live in that nearly every single house and apartment, from the cheapest to the most expensive, will have a built-in maid's quarters. Now, when I first came down, I thought, man, that's weird. Even a small, cheap, two-bedroom apartment has got a tiny maid's quarters shoved in around the corner somewhere, with a private entrance, no less, so they can come and go without disturbing their employer. Now, when you say maid's quarters to a first-world person, he conjures up thoughts of mansions and penthouses and luxury villas. But in Latin America, a house that might sell for $50,000, which in the first world is something less than a starter home and something more than a double-wide trailer, will usually come with a maid's quarters and a separate entrance. Now, that's always been a little hard for me to get used to. Okay, picture for a minute your own hometown back in the first world. Are you with me on this? Now, picture every low-rent apartment in your town suddenly with a maid's quarters attached. Wouldn't that seem just too ridiculous for words? Well, that's just one of the culture shocks you're going to run into if you choose to live as an expat down in Latin America. Well, one thing you have to realize, the Latin Americans are a very class-conscious and showy society. In many ways, they're more superficial and plastic than anything you can imagine coming out of the first world. And I know that for some of you first-worlders, that statement's very hard to believe, especially with the first-world excesses we see coming out of places like Hollywood and Las Vegas and Aspen, not to mention what with iPhones and hip-hop and porno and Xboxes and first-world kids spoiled beyond anything imaginable in the third world. Where do I get off saying that Latin America is even more superficial than that? Well, in a recent anonymous poll taken at a large Costa Rican university, sophomore males were asked to list and rank the basic necessities that they thought demonstrates a person's worth and success in the world. And here's what they said. Once you've had a live-in maid, the next thing you need is a new car. And after that, the next level of success is to be able to send your kids to a private school. And beyond that, the next level of success involves making enough money to be able to send you and your family on shopping trips to Miami at least twice a year. But for Latin American sophomores in college, what's considered the pinnacle of success is when you can make enough money to afford personal bodyguards for every member of your family. And it's true, kids learn by example. And in fact, in any big city in Latin America, any day of the week in almost any part of town, you're bound to see an SUV pull up to a restaurant and suddenly a couple of bodyguards with sunglasses and bad suits will jump out. Yes, it's sad, but I have to admit that in Latin America, the dream of every young man is to have a brand new SUV and a couple of bodyguards. It's all a big show and a way to impress their friends. Never mind that if you have bodyguards, you've completely lost your privacy. No one ever bothers to consider that. But since politicians and narcos and anybody with real money have SUVs and bodyguards, down here it's considered high living. So I guess you can call that the American dream, Latin style. But let me finish my cleaning lady stories. I know I got a little bit off the track there. So I bet you want to know if I've ever been robbed by a cleaning lady. Well, yes, I have. In fact, I had a nice old cleaning lady for about 3 or 4 years. Then one day I discovered she was stealing fruits and vegetables from me and hiding them outside in a bag under the cement wash basin. Of course, I was a bit shocked and I didn't want to believe it. So I took the bag and went back in the kitchen and put the vegetables away. And I didn't say a thing. Now, she wasn't a live-in cleaning lady, so she went home that night as usual. And I didn't think she would come back the next day. She'd know for sure that I found out she was stealing things. Of course, because the bag was gone, I'd taken it from under the wash basin and put it back in the kitchen. I thought she'd be way too embarrassed to come back. But she wasn't. She came back the next day with a smile as usual. And guess what? She did it again. She took another bag of fruits and vegetables and hid them under the wash basin again. Now, this lady had been working for me for a few years. And that night I thought, how long has she been doing this? Has she been stealing from me every single day for years? Or is this something new? Is she having some kind of trouble at home? Trouble feeding her kids? Trouble with money? She never mentioned a thing to me. And I guess part of the problem is that the lower classes of people are so timid around their bosses. They would never dream of asking for a handout like that. It's easier just to swipe a few items because they know you're never going to miss it. Well, I had to let her go because that kind of thing can't go on. And another time, I had a young gardener working for me for about a year, and from the start, I should have suspected trouble. Now, here's another young guy, about 18 years old, making about $200 or $300 a month, and he came to work the very first day with an iPod and earbuds. And of course, normally that's not a problem. Nearly every kind of outside worker has an MP3 player nowadays. Except this guy's MP3 player was worth a month of his salary. Well, he was only working for me about 2 days a week, and after about a year, he just quit coming. I didn't quite know where he lived, so after a few weeks without a gardener, I hired a new one. And when I was showing the new gardener around, I noticed my fairly expensive bicycle was missing from the storage shed, and I couldn't think of what had happened to it. Then about a month later, I was driving my car some miles away from my house when I happened to see my old gardener driving along on my bike. He wasn't paying attention enough to notice me, and it wasn't a busy road, so I turned around, passed him, cut him off, jumped out of the car, and his face was in shock. Then he dropped the bike and hightailed it out of there. Now, every expat I know has a story like that, and most have two or three. So you might wonder what suggestions I have when hiring domestic help in Latin America. Well, first of all, I don't like live-in maids because you absolutely lose all of your privacy. And in time, they know every move you make and everything you have in your house. And I just don't like the idea that someone who's not family is always around. And these days, a lot of expats I know have a rule. It might sound crass, but many of my expat friends are now insisting that their cleaning ladies, gardeners, and maintenance guys show them the inside of their bags and purses before they leave for the day. That's just the same kind of thing they do with employees at Sears and Target and Walmart. I know a strict rule like that doesn't instill much trust or faith between you and the employee, but it's better to be safe.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, with me, John Mueller. Be sure to tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for The Expat Files, a one-of-a-kind show produced and compiled deep in the heart of Latin America, the only show on the air that takes an honest look at what it's really like to live, work, play, or simply retire in Latin America. And don't forget, all the shows are archived. So to download any previous show for free, just go to the Progressive Radio Network homepage at www.progressiveradionetwork.com and click on the archives. And of course, you can always email me with any of your questions about Latin America, expatfiles@progressiveradionetwork.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
Then she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana.